We have been studying in the book of Acts concerning the early church, and we've been going along slowly from verse to verse, chapter to chapter, to try and find out about the early Christians and what it really meant for those people to become Christian. We've come now to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, and I do not know how I can adequately or properly give you an understanding of the importance of this particular passage that I'm now going to be studying with you. Because the 9th chapter of the book of Acts tells the story of the conversion of Saul the Pharisee, who became Paul the Apostle. If there was any one person in the New Testament that probably deserves the general title or the idea of being the master Christian, if there was any one person that you could say, now there's a real, typical Christian, I believe we'd have to give it to the Apostle Paul. He said himself that it was shown to him that the Lord showed him all long-suffering in dealing with him, that he might make an example of him to other people. Here was a man that was dead set against the gospel, who became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and labored more than anybody in terms of the gospel. Now, we can't say it all one time, but we're going to start reading in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, and as we read, we're going to try and understand this incident that occurred when this man, Saul the Pharisee, became a Christian. So if you have your Bibles with you, we'll open them at chapter 9. We will read, and I will comment on it as we read along. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now we've heard of Saul before. If you will remember in our studies, and if you've been listening along with us, you will remember we first met Saul at the death of Stephen, when the witnesses, the people who were stoning Stephen to death, laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They took off their gowns, they took off their cloaks so they could throw stones better, and so that nobody would steal them. Here was this young man, and they left their clothing at his feet so that he'd watch over them. There is no evidence given to us that he actually took part in the stoning. He doesn't even claim he did. But he admits later on in the book of Acts, he'll tell you that he consented unto his death. And the book of Acts itself at the beginning of the 8th chapter said, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul didn't only consent to the death of Stephen, but although he was just a young man, he became a bitter persecutor of the Christians. He thought they were wrong. He thought these Christians were really just mistaken. He thought they had gotten off on the wrong tangent, and he thought they should be stopped. He felt that their preaching and teaching was spreading untruth and that they were just disturbing the people. And so he got authority from the chief priests, like a sheriff would bring a warrant for the arrest. So he got an authority from the chief priest to make these people stop their talking or bring them before the council in Jerusalem and penalize them in some fashion. And this is what he was going to do now. So here you have in chapter 9, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, because actually some of these people were put to death against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, you know, authorization, like you'd swear out a warrant for arrest, that if he found any of this way, that's the way they refer to being a Christian, any of this way being the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in him, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And that was his intention. And now we read along. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Let me stop right there. The like of this might not happen to every one of us, but it could happen to anybody. I wonder if in your acquaintance Have you got any acquaintance at all with anybody who has ever heard himself being talked to? You may not have met them, but I have. Not that I'm anything extra, but you see, being in the ministry, I meet a great many people. There are people who actually receive direct messages from God. I'm not interested about that for the moment, except to just tell you that I've met such people myself, and I'm far from being able to say that they just made a mistake. I wouldn't want to be the one to say that. That's not my interest here. My interest here is to draw your attention to the fact that this happened here. And I'm going to say that if it never happened again, this happened here. If it was the only one of his kind, it doesn't make any difference. After all, Saul was the only one of his kind. Saul fell to the earth and heard a voice. He fell to the earth because of that bright light. That bright light was so strong, in our language, we'd say it knocked him down. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I'm sure that Saul didn't have any idea of persecuting anybody, any one person. He arrested men and brought them to prison. He arrested women and brought them before the council. Who was this one person he was persecuting? You're going to see right away in the fifth verse. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Now, when he used the word Lord here, I think we commonly understand that he did not mean by it by what you and I mean when we say the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a term of respect. Who are you, sir? And something like that. Who art thou, Lord? Maybe more than that. Maybe he had a feeling that this was some great power, some authority. But at any rate, I'm not sure that he knew then who it was. He's going to learn. Who art thou, great one? Who art thou, in a sense, one could say, master or sir? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I'm sure that must have been a shock to Saul. He didn't have any idea he was persecuting the Lord Jesus. When you hear somebody criticizing the church, making fun of the church, they'd be rather shocked, wouldn't they, if they met the Lord on the street and the Lord would tell them, I don't appreciate you criticizing me. I think they'd want to say, well, I didn't criticize you, I just criticized this church over here. Oh, but you were criticizing him. I'm sure Saul didn't think that he was doing this to Jesus Christ. He thought he was doing this to some Jews that didn't understand right. He didn't think Jesus Christ was alive. He thought Jesus Christ was dead. The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, many of us have tried to understand that phrase. And we're inclined to think that the nearest thing to it for you and for me is to say, it's hard for you to resist the pricking of your own conscience. Something like that. By the way, I wonder if you're acquainted with this phrase, to kick against the pricks. Do you mind if I take a little time to show you what that means? That's a phrase that came up from driving oxen. Now, if you've ever seen oxen being driven, of course, you can see them in pictures and so on, but you don't really understand it unless you be around where they are. Oxen are very slow, and they can be very, very slow, and I think the drivers think they can be lazy. And an ox can be a very tough creature. And by that I mean an ox can be so hardened and so calloused that whipping him won't scare him any. Hitting him doesn't make much difference. He is so tough and his body is so inured to pain that to hit him the stick can just break. It won't make much difference. Well, now how can you get him to move? Well, if you've ever seen an ox or seen a cow, if you look at the hind feet, can you picture that? Just at the hoof. Have you see, it looks like the ankle. It isn't really the ankle. We call it the fetlock. But just under the fetlock, or that joint where the hoof is fastened onto the leg. Have you ever noticed just behind where the hoof is, just attached to the leg, is a soft spot there? That's a real soft, tender spot. Now, what these men would do would be to take a long stick, the drivers. a sharp stick, and they would just gig the ox in that soft spot just above his hoof. That was the prick. And they'd poke him there. And I'll tell you, he'd move. You get an ox that didn't want to move, and you poke him there, he'd move. Well, some oxen, you know, when you'd kick him, when you'd prick him there, they'd kick you. That is, they'd kick back. And, of course, it's only made it worse. They kick back, they kick right into this sharp stick. Now, that's the significance of, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. This is to say that the Lord was driving Paul to make a decision. The Lord was driving Saul to make a decision. And the way in which the Lord was driving Saul was to prick him. And that's why some of us are inclined to talk to this day about pricks of conscience. Well, that's a bit like it. Let us just say that when Saul, perhaps when Saul saw Stephen die for his faith, a man with a face, as it were, the face of an angel, who wasn't doing anybody any harm at all, and they stoned him to death. Now, Saul was an honest young man in his own way, prejudiced, I know, blind with prejudice, but he was honest. He could afterwards say that he served God with a clear conscience from his forefathers. And he was a good man. He wanted to be good. You know, when he saw Stephen die, that would bother him. And when he saw these men and women haled off to prison, and he himself put them in prison, and they didn't fight, and they didn't blame him, and they were kind, and they were meek, that would bother him. And there's no doubt that Saul was being bothered in his conscience when this event occurred. Our God and Heavenly Father, give open our eyes to understand thy ways of leading us. And if by any chance any of us are really being moved to make some sort of decision of any sort, make us to be tender in spirit so that we will know the way thou art leading us. And keep us, Father, so we don't be rebellious and kick against the pricks. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.